Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 25 of the Minor Prophets. Today we continue our study in Micah with our devotion titled, From Outcast to Overcomer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 reads, For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our text for today is Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. I'm reading today from the New Living Translation. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between peoples and will settle disputes between strong nations far away. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and fig trees, for there will be nothing to fear. The Lord of Heaven's armies has made this promise. Though the nations around us follow their idols, we will follow the Lord our God forever and ever. In that coming day, says the Lord, I will gather together those who are lame, those who have been exiles, and those whom I have filled with grief. Those who are weak will survive as a remnant. Those who were exiles will become a strong nation. Then I, the Lord, will rule from Jerusalem as their king forever. As for you, Jerusalem, the citadel of God's people, your royal might and power will come back to you again. The kingship will be restored to my precious Jerusalem. But why are you now screaming in terror? Have you no king to lead you? Have your wise people all died? Pain has gripped you like a woman in childbirth. Writhe and groan like a woman in labor, you people of Jerusalem, for now you must leave this city to live in the open country. You will soon be sent in exile to distant Babylon. But the Lord will rescue you there. He will redeem you from the grip of your enemies. Now many nations have gathered against you. Let her be desecrated, they say. Let us see the destruction of Jerusalem. But they do not know the Lord's thoughts or understand his plan. These nations don't know that he is gathering them together to be beaten and trampled like sheaves of grain on a threshing floor. Rise up and crush the nations, O Jerusalem, says the Lord, for I will give you iron horns and bronze hooves so that you can trample many nations to pieces. You will present their stolen riches to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of all the earth. One common practice that has sprung up over the last decade is save-the-date invitations. This is not a formal invitation, but rather a simple card that lets you know an important date is coming, so you will reserve that date on your calendar. You don't have all the details yet, but someone is inviting you to a wedding or celebration, and they want you to save the date. In Micah chapter 4, after a discouraging message in chapter 3 of God's judgment, the prophet offers a hope-filled message. In the same way someone sends you a save-the-date invitation, Micah foretells a monumental day coming for God's people. Of course, Micah doesn't give us a specific day. Instead, in Micah chapter 4, verse 1, he uses the phrase, in the last days. The last days frequently refers to a future event. You can see Ezekiel 38:16, Daniel 2:28, and Hosea 3:5. So it's a future event concerning the second coming of Christ. One day, God's people will stream, you can see Micah 4:1, to Jerusalem to worship Him. David Guzik believes Micah chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, describe four freedoms that will occur during these last days. Freedom from ignorance. He will teach us His ways. Freedom from war. Nation will no longer fight against nation. Freedom from want. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity. And freedom from fear. There will be nothing to fear. God will restore His people and provide for their every need. In the middle of the book of Micah, surrounded by the judgments of God on His people foretold by the minor prophets, we find a message of hope for the future. With God, there's always hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. That's from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. In Micah chapter 4, the prophet describes a hope-filled future for God's people after the coming consequences for their sins. There's been much debate over Micah chapter 4 and the last days. Some theologians believe this prophecy was fulfilled throughout Israel's history. Others say that this describes the future reign of Jesus on earth. Perhaps both sides could be right. Sometimes, when it comes to prophecy, it doesn't have to be one way or the other. At times, it can be a picture of Israel and a foreshadowing of the future reign of Christ. John MacKay explains it wisely in his commentary on Micah. The prophet has been given a view of the future by God. But even on these occasions, when God gave such a vision, the precise timing of events was often left obscure. You can see 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Indeed, the prophet's situation has often been likened to that of an observer looking at a landscape where there is a succession of even higher hills. From one angle, each peak may seem to lie immediately behind the one in front. But move around and look at them from a different viewpoint, and there can often be disclosed hitherto unsuspected valleys, perhaps miles wide, between the successive summits that had at first seemed so close. It may well be that Micah's vision is from the first type of viewpoint. He is not permitted to see the intervening valleys, and so his description merges features of various periods when the Lord will decisively intervene in history. Certainly, this prophecy was not exhausted by the return of the Jews from Babylon, though in such an event we can readily detect a partial fulfillment of it. God is powerful enough to give prophetic statements that remind His people of His provision throughout history while also depicting His church's future. Both results bring hope to His people. Scripture, like Micah chapter 4, brings His people the needed assurance, especially when dealing with the consequences of sin. Micah chapter 4 describes a time when God will be supreme and at the center of everything. This period will be marked by nations coming to Him, drawn by His word and ways. The very word of God that people in Micah's day had rejected and perverted will be what one day draws them back into His presence. A future day is coming for Israel. God will gather the lame and bring them into His strength. He will take the cast off, you can see Micah 4 verse 7, the cast off of society and make them a strong nation. Our God can take judgment and turn it into jubilation. He can take the crippled and make them conquerors. Through God's power, the outcast can become an overcomer. Some questions to consider. how does the positioning of chapter 4 in the middle of 7 chapters of Micah encourage you towards revival and restoration? How does the future freedom God will provide impact your passion for Him today? And finally, what does this portion of Micah chapter 4, verse 2, teach you in your walk with the Lord? Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. Thanks so much for joining us today. Have a great day.